This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, good morning. It's Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle. And this hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Jake Heaps is in. Jake's in for Brock today as Brock gets ready for a busy college football weekend. He had the game last night in Phoenix at Arizona State. And he's off to Dallas to TCU to watch Oklahoma and TCU tomorrow. Jake, we do this from time to time. It's a rapid fire. So I've got eight questions here to do in the next 20 minutes or so.
Ready.
And we've got a whole bunch of callers on the line who will help us answer it. Howdy, you're going to be so mad at me right now, though, because even though you're there by yourself doing all of the different jobs that are required of a producer and board op and everything else.
The one-man show back there.
I didn't have the thing open, so I need you to actually rewrite all of the names of the people who are there
on hold.
I totally screwed that up. Are we doing music for this bit? I should have asked.
Well, we can do that, too, because I also thought you might go there.
He's just one step ahead of you, Salk. He's one step ahead of you.
It never changes, Mike. It's been years and years and years since I'm doing this. But yeah, here we are once again, and all the old tendencies are coming back.
Today of all days, too, right? We have a skeleton crew here, man. No Kyle.
Man.
Kyle's in the RV lot at Wazoo, hopefully up by now, getting ready for tomorrow. We've got Lydia, who's out sick, unfortunately. If you heard her yesterday, you understand why.
Yeah.
Taylor is having minor surgery today, so Brock is out.
It's crew's down, man.
Skeleton crew. All right. Are you ready for rapid fire, Jake?
I'm ready.
Here we go. Question number one for rapid fire. Whose agent should John Schneider be calling about an extension first this week? One guy who John Schneider should be calling about an extension.
This is so hard. This is a tough question because I look at it and I think there's a couple people that are absolutely viable. I think the first guy that comes to my mind is Jaron Reed. I think that this is a guy that absolutely should be getting an extension when you look at his leadership, what he means to that defensive line group. And also, he's been playing really good football.
Mm-hmm.
Really good football. And second guy that comes to mind, DJ Fluker. I think that he is a perfect scheme fit for this team. I don't think that this is a, you know, one year, one hit wonder. I think that this guy is exactly what this team needs to carry the same attitude that Pete Carroll wants. And three, Russell Wilson. This guy has really taken over as a field general. Yeah, Pete Carroll elaborated a little bit more on this, that not only is he doing great, he's been efficient with the play action pass game, and he's tied for, I think, fifth in the league for touchdowns right now with the lack of pass attempts, but he's doing so many things at the line of scrimmage, almost Peyton Manning-esque. He's starting to really take over and take shape as field general.
Ah, shucks. All right, 206-421-3776. We'll ask you guys, you want to participate here with some rapid fire. Kyle's in Port Orchard. Kyle, whose agent should Schneider be calling about an extension this week? Number one.
Jaron Reed, first and foremost. Guy's the leader on the football team. He's emerged ever since Michael Bennett and some of the other departures from this offseason. Coming into his own this year, finally has a voice to be a leader of the football team. I like Justin Coleman also.
God, so my answer, Kyle, you and I are exactly lockstep, and Jake too. Jaron Reed was my answer to this also. That's the guy that I would be trusting. No one says Frank Clark though, huh?
Good stuff, Kyle. Here's the thing. I think Frank Clark, and I actually wrote him on the one as Jaron Reed and Frank Clark possibly, but I have a question mark to Frank Clark. The thing is, yes, he looked awesome against the Raiders. He's had moments, but is this the guy that's sustainable? Can you trust that when you give this guy a contract, is he going to continue to play with the same amount of fire?
And with a lot more money on the line than it would be with Jaron Reed. Yeah, I think the answer is Jaron Reed, probably followed by Justin Coleman. I really like Jaron Reed. I like him as a human. I kind of like who he is and what he seems like in the locker room and when you hear him interviewed and the way he has sort of risen to this challenge. Pete Carroll mentioned him first when we were talking about guys who've emerged as leaders this week. So, yeah, I would say if there's one guy I'm reaching out to, it's him. I'm definitely not reaching out to Frank Clark this week after the week he just had.
No
value's
chance.
Never been higher. And I'm just guessing Schneider doesn't want to talk to Mark Rogers, Russell's agent.
They're waiting for that conversation.
That will end up being, as I've said before, the biggest sports story in the history of Seattle sports.
It'll be
this big. Next contract negotiation with Russell will be that big. All right, second question for rapid fire. Give me a new updated win projection for the Seahawks. Steve, the Dallas dude, you get to go first.
I think they'll go. I think they'll have a
11
to 12 win season.
Whoa,
Steve!
So if they go 12 win season, means they go 9-1.
Yes.
Yeah, I think they will.
You think they're going to go nine and one?
Get strong.
Wow. Yeah. I love it.
Steve's just saying that because they whooped the Cowboys. All right, 12-4 is Steve the Dallas Dude's updated projection. Jake, I will go with 10 wins. My updated projection is 10 wins. That means they've got to go 7-3 the rest of the way.
Yeah, and I can get on board with that.
7-3 seems really doable. The question is, can they get to 11 wins?
That's the question, and I've said from the very get-go that I think this is a potential 8-8 football team at its best. Mm-hmm. The way that they've played and the way they've established this identity, it gets me to believe that they can go 9-7, possibly 10-6. But the biggest thing is you're going to find out a lot about this team in the next four games. Matthew Stafford, Phillip Rivers, Rams round two, and then you got Aaron Rodgers. You're going to find out a lot about this group. Can they put up points on the board? And again, is Pete's philosophy going to pan out here? Because again, with that run game, you can limit the amount of times these special quarterbacks get the ball. And can your defense hold up against an actual legit group of quarterbacks? That to me is the biggest question.
Huge question. And can you rush any of those quarterbacks, by the way? You saw them do it against Oakland with Colton Miller on ice skates.
Yep.
But can you do it against real good offensive lines? We'll wait and find out. All right. Next question for Rapid Fire. How do you get to answer this one first? Who represents the Pac-12 in the Rose Bowl this year?
Oregon. Rapid fire.
Oregon?
Oregon does.
Really?
That's what I think, too.
I think Oregon does.
I think it's Oregon. I think that win at against UW was so big.
Yeah.
I think it's Oregon.
I think they're the front runner, no question about it. I think not to put them as a front runner would be naive. I do think that UW will be that team, and here's why. I'm not convinced that Oregon's going to be able to get through the rest of the schedule unscathed. And I think WSU, I think WSU is going to get it done this weekend. I think with everything around it, we'll see. I could be completely wrong about
this. History tells you they won't.
Yes, history tells me they won't. But
just history.
Yeah, there's something about this. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting caught up in the whole college game day experience. But if that happens and you've got UW facing WSU at the end of this thing, I think WSU's style of play fits into the strength of UW.
I'm convinced that UW doesn't lose another game along the way here. I think that's the problem. And we knew this going in with their schedule.
Yeah.
That the games against Oregon and Stanford were both against teams coming off of buys.
Yeah, it's
and
tough.
And college football, that's so tough.
It's a tough task.
So I don't know. We'll see. I think I would probably right now put Oregon in that spot. Should we take a call on this?
Let's grab somebody.
Who do you think wants to answer a college football question? Scott and Tumwater? Scott, who's going to represent the Pac-12 in the Rose Bowl this year?
Man, I would love to say the Huskies, but I believe the Huskies have cooped it, and they'll coop it again. I'm going to go with WSU because I just think that, hey, let's flip the script on the thing, you know?
I think it's their year.
Their year. Let's do it. College game day. Let's see what happens.
All right. There you go.
Their only loss was against a call that is a little bit under dispute when that dude had the targeting penalty.
Totally agree. Although what's funny is the only losses the Huskies have, one should have been a targeting penalty against Auburn.
Yes.
And then, you know, their kicker missed a 12-yard field goal or whatever the heck it was. So, yeah, good
Nobody
call.
Nobody likes kickers.
Nobody likes kickers. Least of all you, Scott. Appreciate it. All right. You ready? Question four. Rapid fire. Questions coming fast and furious with Jake Heaps.
Hot.
It's hot. Super hot.
It's hard to handle in here.
All right. After watching baseball's postseason so far, we are through the ALCS and one or two games left in the NLCS.
Mm-hmm.
Give me a pitcher and a position player you would just enjoy watching on your team every night. Doesn't have to be the best player out there.
Yeah.
You don't have to name Chris Sale. Right? He's the you can, but it doesn't have to be the pitcher or player that would help your team the most.
Right.
Just somebody you've enjoyed watching in the postseason that you would like to watch here.
Mm, in the postseason. Okay. That's a tough one. I've really enjoyed watching, you know, these group of guys going out there it's been a fun playoff to watch so far. I would say probably for pitching, I don't know. I was really impressed with David Price and how he handled, you know, he's been ragged on by Red Sox fans, and the way that he stepped up in that situation was big. And so I'll give it to him.
But you don't want to watch David Price all year, do you?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm just giving him props. Come on, Salk.
You can give him some props.
I'm giving him props.
But you don't want to watch him all year.
No, you're probably right. You know, and then the other guy that I would probably want to watch in terms of fielder, can I just say Mike Trout? I know he's not in the postseason, but
you just want to watch him.
This guy
that bad.
Is so good. Mike Trout is so good.
We'll allow it. Just,
okay.
Just
all right.
He's
thank
Mike
you.
Trout. How do you want to jump into this one? I know you've got to have a
kept coming into my mind.
The guy that I'd like to watch the most in this postseason.
Yeah, that you would like to have on your team to just watch it game in game out.
He just got eliminated, but I'd like to have Jose Altuve.
Oh, really?
I would love to have Jose Altuve.
He's not even in my top few Astros.
Oh, man. I think he is so fun to watch. Being that small and still packing power, being able to actually have five tools at 5'5" is awesome. I love watching him play.
Yeah, I've talked about these guys before. Springer's probably number one for me. I love George Springer.
That guy swings so hard every single swing.
But he's got a great eye for the plate.
Yeah.
He plays real hard and he's fast in the outfield. He runs around the bases.
Yeah.
He's overcome a stutter and like works with kids all over the place on it and is comfortable talking now on television and stuff. Like, yeah, give me George Springer for 162. I'm all in on that. I'd watch Alex Bregman for 162 and the attitude that he brings. I'd watch Mookie Betts for 162 and just the athleticism and grace and the arm and everything else he brings. In terms of pitchers, it's actually been a little harder. It's weird. This postseason has not been about pitching.
No, it really
hasn't.
The
way some of the others have over the last few years.
Just like baseball.
I know this one's sort of obnoxious. There's a couple of Yankees that I would enjoy watching all the time.
There are.
I know Dellin Betances didn't have a good year, but I just think he's really fun to watch. I think...
Severino. I like watching Severino. That ball gets up on people fast.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, really those would be a couple of answers for me. Look, Chris Sale's awesome. You know, he's probably the best of the bunch.
The best.
And maybe Wade Miley. He's been great. Maybe we could get a chance finally to watch Wade Miley. Game in, game out.
Oh, why'd you have to go there?
Oh, sorry about that.
Why'd you have to go there?
Let's try John, who's in San Francisco. John, give me a player from baseball's postseason you'd like to watch here all the time.
Yes, Puig.
No, great answer.
Oh.
And there was some conversation about it a year or so ago.
Yeah. I mean, the Mariners bench would have no choice but to go out to two or three rumbles on the field finally because of his attitude.
Good answer, John. I like it.
From pitching, I'd want Verlander. He's amazing. I feel like you're watching Nolan Ryan right now.
You know who else would be on my list of pitchers would be Lance McCullers Jr. I know he hasn't pitched all that well in the postseason. They've kind of used him more out of the pen. But just watching that guy throw curveball after curveball, I think he's fun to watch. Even though he generally dominates the Mariners,
you wouldn't go with Kershaw.
Kershaw, I find Kershaw boring. I know he's awesome. He and Sale are the two best pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
So from like a team building perspective, obviously yes. I don't find him fun.
I hear you.
Isn't he already kind of at the end of his career though?
Kershaw.
Yeah.
He's still got life in him.
He's a lefty. He'll probably go for a while.
He's like 31.
His nearest cough is Sandy Koufax, and when Sandy Koufax's elbow went out, he retired.
All right.
It seems that Kershaw could do the same thing and be reflected on the same way.
Look at you, John. Psyched for rapid fire.
Bringing it. Yeah,
thanks, John.
After it.
Go, John. Good
all right,
stuff.
Rapid fire. This one's so hard. I want to know who's going to have an answer to this one. The like three best teams in the NFC
like
are...
a definitive answer to this.
Definitive answer.
Like, hey, 1, 2, and 3, because...
the three best teams in the NFC. Isaiah and Yakima, you're going first.
Okay.
You didn't even get to listen to other answers. Isaiah, who are the three best teams in the NFC?
Ooh. Rams, Saints, Hawks.
Uh-huh.
And?
You said Hawks?
Yep.
Oh, Rams, Saints, and Hawks.
Definitively. Rams, Saints, and Seahawks.
Okay.
Yeah, definitively.
Why all right. Popular answer.
Seattle's defense is third because their defense is so young. They've still got a lot to prove, especially in the back half against those elite quarterback clearing phase.
Okay.
But we were running the ball consistently and better than most in the league, and that's always going to give us a chance. And those other teams, like the Saints, you know, they aren't the same team as they are on the way from home. So we'll see what they're like against Baltimore's defense this week. And I think the Rams are still going to falter a couple times. So that would be my top three.
All right. Love it. Good answer.
Awesome stuff.
All right, Jake.
Man. I am with you all the way on 1 and 2.
I think everyone's going to be there on 1 and 2.
I'm with you all the way on 1 and 2.
Who you got as number 3?
At number 3, this is where it becomes a toss-up, because I would love to say Seattle, but again, like I said, you got 4 games where you're going to find out a lot about this team, and I'm not so sure that we're going to be sitting here saying that they're the 3rd best team after these 4 games. We'll see. I would love to be wrong. But I think then you go, I think it's a debate between Seattle, Carolina, and Chicago. I think Carolina is built to last this NFL squad this season. And again, they kind of have a similar style to Seattle. They want to run to win. And McCaffrey's playing great ball right now as running back in Chicago. I mean, you remember when we played these guys and Mitch Trubisky, they were just like, oh my gosh, just please don't make any catastrophic turnovers. Like, everybody was on pins and needles in Chicago. And now this guy has really come into his own. Matt Nagy has done a phenomenal job there.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you're looking at point differential, Chicago would certainly be the runaway leader. They're at plus 43 on the season, so they would be 3rd. I mean, the Rams are obviously going to be way out of everyone's league at 78. And then the Saints at plus 40. So the Bears would be right there with them. They're 3 and 2.
I'm just not convinced that he's
I don't trust Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah.
I'll go with a somewhat on off. I'm still going to say the Eagles is the 3rd best.
Oh, really? Okay.
They're at a positive 20-point differential so far this year. I know that doesn't mean everything. They're 3 and 3, and they're just the reigning champions. Like, until they get actually knocked out, I think I'll probably go with the reigning champs for this year. But, man, you could certainly answer the Seahawks. You could absolutely answer with the Panthers.
I think you're missing the sleeping giant in the Vikings. I think the Vikings are the sleeping giant right
now. I would have
I like
said
that offense.
Whooping at
their
home
defense,
against the Bills.
Their defense struggling. Their defense is struggling. It'll be interesting.
I don't think
it'll
Kirk Cousins is that good.
Yeah, that's your thing, though.
I think
he is pretty good.
That's true.
I think he's
pretty good. My thing. I don't think Kirk Cousins is
Howdy just said,
as good as
that's
they
a
do.
You problem,
I know.
Saul.
That's all right. He can say that. It's typical Howdy. All right, we got a couple more of these. Let's see. Rapid fire. If you could tell the next owner of the Seahawks one thing, the day they took over ownership of the team, whether this is going to be Paul Sister or whether the team is sold and the new conglomerate comes in with one person as the head owner, but you get an audience with the Pope, you get to tell them one thing that you would like them to understand about being as the owner of the Seahawks.
Wow.
What is the one thing that you would tell them?
Who are we going to? Me?
You. Okay. You're up first.
Here
Jay.
We go.
What do you got? Jay
All
Keeps.
Right.
What are you telling them?
To me, I'm saying be yourself, but use the Paul Allen model. I don't want you to come in here and try and be Paul Allen, but I want you to use his model. And that model is be about this community that is so connected to the Seahawks, that feels it. This is a community unlike any other in the NFL. And I think it's been well documented since the passing of Paul Allen, just how connected and the story and the history of Paul Allen and what he did for this city. I mean, being a Seattleite growing up here, it meant so much to me being able to watch the Seahawks growing up. A big reason why I became an NFL quarterback, you know, having that. The second thing is surround yourself with greatness and trust them to do their job. What I mean by that is Paul has done a great job with hires, not only in the football side of things, but also in the business side of things, in the community. Hire great people and let them do their job and empower them to do greatness, to build greatness, and give them unwavering support. I've heard this from Pete Carroll. I've heard this from Mike Holmgren. Paul Allen held these guys accountable, but at the end of the day, he said, what do you need? What do you need? And I will provide it. And if they can continue to have that unwavering support in that coaching staff, those players and that organization can feel your support, This franchise will continue to flourish.
Oh, good answer. I'll give you mine in a second. Let me just give you guys some minor breaking news. The Cardinals did indeed fire offensive coordinator Mike McCoy this morning. He is out. Byron Leftwich is the new offensive coordinator in Arizona.
JC called it Byron Leftwich as the OC.
Dude, I loved Byron Leftwich. We were just talking about him the other day, right? Like one of my favorite random quarterbacks, but not like my favorite quarterback.
He was one that was getting carried down the field, and he was Marshall, right?
He's limping down.
Limping. His offensive line carried him to the spot so he could snap it in the shotgun and throw passes to lead to a win.
Dude, that dude was tough.
Wow.
Tough
he was
dude.
A tough dude.
All right, so Byron Leftwich.
And credit to John Clayton. He nailed that word for word. The exact way of how that was going to happen this morning on the show.
Yeah. There you go. Good job by John.
Good stuff.
All right, what would I tell the next owner of the Seahawks if I could tell them one thing?
Yeah.
I would tell them that you own this team in the public trust.
Yes.
that I appreciate you are the steward for the fans of the Seattle Seahawks. And if you're not interested in that, if you're only interested in making money, if you're only interested in living out a childhood dream of being in charge of a football team, then please sell it now. That what made Paul Allen such an incredible owner, in addition to the $20 billion, let's not kid ourselves, that helps.
Right.
When you have the wherewithal and the means to just do whatever it is you want to do, outside of the salary cap, that does help.
Yeah.
But you have to think community, which is exactly what Paul did.
Yeah.
He wanted to win. You have to want to win, but you've got to think about what do the fans truly want. You've got to put yourself in that position. And I think that's why he was as successful as he was. And I think that's why most of the great owners are.
Yeah, absolutely.
They are invested in winning. It means the world to them. But they think about it as, hey, if I were a fan, what would I want?
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't mean you manage like a fan. That doesn't mean you react like a fan to every little thing that happens.
Correct.
You got to put football people in charge of that, because if you manage or general manage like a fan, you're going to become one.
Yeah, let me add one more thing to that.
It's the old rule.
I think that the other part of it is so important, especially in this market, in this community. You don't want an owner that's about him. That's not going to fly here. It's not going to go well. You can have a great personality, a guy that people can feel connected to, but if this whole thing is about him, it is not going to go well.
Got another text here on that one, though. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. What would I tell him? Pay Russell Wilson. Another texter says, does Jake Heaps just refer to himself as an NFL quarterback? Did you refer to yourself as an NFL quarterback?
Why wouldn't he?
I did, yeah.
All right.
Why wouldn't he do that?
Texter wanted to know.
Come on, Texter. Why wouldn't Jake Heaps refer to himself as an NFL quarterback?
He prefaced it with, no offense.
Yeah.
No offense.
So it's fine.
So
it's totally fine.
It's like the Will Ferrell movie. With all due respect.
It's totally fine.
With all due respect. Just because you say that doesn't mean you can say anything. Yeah, it does.
Right. I don't know if we're going to get to all eight of these, but number seven. Who is your, and we'll probably do this as an extended topic next week because we had so much fun with the Mariners on this. Who is your favorite emerging Seahawk so far in 2018?
Honestly, this is really easy for me.
Really?
Really easy. DJ Fluker, number one. How do you not love that guy? I mean, the attitude that he brought and the clear difference between when he wasn't in the lineup to where he is now.
Yes.
It is remarkable. And you listen to that soundbite of him talking about Sue. I mean, how do you not fall in love with this guy? But the other guy on the defense, Bradley McDougal. Yes, he has been talked about. He has been getting praise about his play. No question about it. He's playing like one of the best safeties in the NFL right now. But this guy's personality, and I was fortunate to be able to be teammates with him at Kansas, actually, Rock Chalk.
Really?
But yeah, we were teammates together. So I know Bradley well. But he is a guy that you're not going to worry about. You're not going to worry about if this guy's going to turn sour, if he's going to be a guy that's going to mouth off and pop off or handle things the wrong way. Yeah. He's going to do everything first class.
How about Tedrick? I mean, you're taking all my answers. I agree with Jaron Reed with you earlier who they should pay. I'm probably there with Fluker and Bradley McDougal. Tedrick would probably be a name that would be close to next on my list. Is Chris Carson count as a breakout guy right now? We saw a little of this last year, but not 100-yard games. I mean, he wasn't able to stay healthy long enough to really impact the season. Chris Carson's got to be way up there, right?
Yeah, I think he's up there. I think there's still, again, when you talk about durability,
I think
he still needs a couple games for me to fully on the Chris Carson bandwagon, even though I love him.
How about Ian in Ellensburg? Ian, who is your favorite breakout Seahawk this year?
It's got to be Chris Carson.
How come?
I mean, yeah, I know that you guys are saying, and he did play last year, but at the same time, I mean, this is a guy, anyways, who didn't get played much last year, and he was actually going to lead the Hawks, anyways, in rushing yards.
You're probably right.
I appreciate the phone call there, Ian.
Thanks, Ian. Yeah, I
he likes running people over, and I like that about him.
I love it.
I like when running backs run people over.
I love him. I think he's phenomenal. Yeah. Again, it just comes down to
Disley could have been on this list, unfortunately, right? I mean, if Disley was still healthy, I wonder how many people. And it could still be an answer. He broke out a little bit at the beginning of this season. We hope that we'll see more of it. next year. All right, fun rapid fire. We got to 7 of our 8 questions, so we were almost as rapid as we hoped
to be.
So
close.
Very, very, very close. If you've been hanging on, we will get back to the calls. Open phone lines at 9 o'clock, as we tend to do on Friday. So save it up. Anything that's on your mind, we'll take those calls coming up here in just over a half hour at 9 o'clock. Before we get there, though, irrational exuberance and a complete sucker. Next, I'm Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Got some great sound of a New Yorker losing his mind coming up here in about 15 minutes. I think you'll want to hear this. Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN. Seattle, Jake Heaps is in. He's filling in for Brock today. That sounds good, I promise. You'll like it. It's long, it's loud, it's obnoxious.
Yes.
It's everything you expect out of a New York radio host. It's coming up here in about 15. Of course, big news is this hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Of course, what's going on in Pullman this weekend. College game day in all of its glory. The trucks have arrived. The scene was mad there yesterday.
Crazy.
It just seems like complete insanity out there, Jake. And I've been hearing from Kyle the Coug, who is out there.
Yeah.
And Kyle says there were 100 RVs trying to park at one spot one time last night. Just complete madness at 8 o'clock at night. The weather is beautiful.
Is everybody trying to like sneak into his RV scene? If Pride Moore? So,
yeah.
And Ryan Leaf and Robbie Tobeck are actually there or not?
Well, apparently, and this is true, one of Kyle's friends legitimately asked Kyle, one of the people who is staying in his RV, after hearing the sound of those guys yesterday, wondered and asked him whether or not those guys were actually going to be there. So, yeah.
And you know he's not the only person who did that, right?
You know, I do. For one reason, I was listening to the afternoon show yesterday, and Jim Moore, they played this for him. Danny had heard it. Jess had heard it, obviously, because she was playing it for them. And so, they played the sound of... Do we need to play some of the... Should we set this up with some of the Drew?
I think we should play, like, a little bit of it.
All right,
yeah.
Do you have the Drew? I don't have the Drew on me. Can you play... This was the message yesterday that Drew Bledsoe left for Kyle.
Hey, Kyle. Hey, man. Hey, Drew Bledsoe here, but... Hey, I don't know if you remember, but we talked one time. I was on the radio show with Brock, and, you know, it seemed like you and I really hit it off. Anyway, but I hear you're taking your trailer over to Pullman, and I don't know how to say this, but you know, I kind of hit rock bottom. But wife kicked me out, Cougs don't like me, I'm just kind of looking for a place to crash. Hey, I don't want to impose, but is there any chance maybe there's a spot in your trailer?
All right, so it goes on from there, and Drew promises to bring Bush Light, etc. So they play this for Jim yesterday, and this is Jim's response immediately afterwards.
It's Drew Bledsoe. Is Drew the best Cougar football player in history?
Wait a minute. Is that really? I mean, that sounds like Drew Bledsoe.
It was Drew Bledsoe.
We're positive that was Drew Bledsoe.
Yes.
Okay. I can confirm that all of the people's voices you're hearing are all of their voices.
Yeah, they all.
If you're Drew Bledsoe, I mean, he was being considered, I think, as being one of the game day pickers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking. So that tells you how bad it is. If Drew Bledsoe can't get a room over there.
Yeah.
I mean, you do everything in your power to get Drew Bledsoe a room.
Look, there's a lot of people that are looking for one.
Hey, Kyle. Ryan Leaf here. Hey, I heard that you have a spot open in your camper.
All right, you guys got me on that one. You got me. It was a planned bit that I wasn't aware of. Yes, I'm so proud of myself. You know what? I was actually buying that because I thought, man, Drew's having as tough a time as I am. I can't. I mean, we're staying in Ritzville.
If you're Drew Bledsoe needs a room, you find him a room.
Yeah.
Oh, poor Jim. Poor Jim.
Oh.
He bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, my gosh.
You're not supposed to buy the Drew Bledsoe's looking for a room. That is such a ridiculous notion that it should go without being explained.
My favorite part is he wasn't like, oh, man, Kyle, that's cool. He was outraged.
Yes.
How is Drew Bledsoe not have a hotel room? How does he not get hooked up?
Jim's legit mad.
Yeah, he was legit upset.
That's fantastic.
Drew Bledsoe, I mean, he was being considered, I think, as being one of the game day pickers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's looking. So that tells you how bad it is.
You can hear this, how serious he is. Poor Jim. That's a tough moment.
So good.
He also got confused about his age yesterday. Jim was talking about how wonderful it is to go to Pullman and got confused about how old he is.
I know it's crazy, but it's like you start, you know, getting tears in your eyes a little bit. It's weird. I can't explain it because I know a lot of people that don't know the whole thing about Washington State and Pullman. You know, you look at Pullman, you go, Pullman doesn't seem like much of a town. But it's our town, you know, and it's our place, and we have – and all of us that went to school there, whether you went there in the 70s like I did or the 80s, 90s, whatever, and the current students now, we all shared the same experiences. You know, we had 4 years, still the best – I'm 61 years old, and still the best 4 years of my life were spent in Pullman, Washington. It was just fantastic, and I'm looking forward to driving down into Pullman tomorrow and getting the goosebumps on my arms like I always do. And it's silly, but that's how I feel about it.
I was Jim Moore speaking yesterday, and problems with remembering his age aside, I think it is cool. And I think there are very few fan bases in the world quite like the Cougar fan base.
There's no doubt about it.
And my understanding, and I know that there's going to be Huskies get mad when I say this, but for at least the Huskies that I know, even they are a little envious of some of the bond that ties the Cougs together.
Mm.
And look, my college experience was nothing like either of those two schools. I went to a really small college, 1,400 students. But in some ways, the on-campus nature of Pomona, where I went, in that regard is a little bit more similar to Washington State. Now, it was not 4 hours away from the nearest anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I went to school an hour outside of L.A., 2 hours of traffic, really three. But that's just how L.A. traffic works. But the whole idea of Wazoo being an on-campus place, or at least something where you really get to know everyone around you because you're in such close proximity to them all the time, that I can relate to. And as opposed to Washington, which is a city school, it's a city campus where most people are living in you know, after the beginning, they're living in apartments and stuff around the U district area. I think that there is something to a campus school that brings a lot of people together like that and creates a unique environment.
Absolutely.
Now, you went to three schools.
I went to three schools, yes, and all of them were unique and different in their own way. And, you know, I went to a school that was one of the three schools, was very similar to this in Lawrence, Kansas. And that college town was about as cool as it gets. And they just had a true community feel. And you know, there's a little bit more to do there than Pullman, so it wasn't like they're total comparable. Yeah.
Lawrence
is a big, really?
It's a metropolis.
Town. Yeah, it's a big town. It's like 90,000.
Oh wow,
yeah,
that is big.
But it doesn't feel that way at all. comparison to yourself. Jeez, all right. But I mean, it was a really cool vibe, and when you kind of are isolated, and that's what you have, and that's all you know in the community. It creates a special, special bond and a love, not only for your team and all of that, but just being who you are in a fan base. I mean, I walk around and, you know, I'll get a Kansas fan and it rock chalk, you know, anywhere you go. And there's like this excitement and love for Kansas basketball and the community.
There's a similarity there to the whole Go Cougs thing, which you hear everywhere. Yeah, I at the risk of being cheesy for a moment, I do think that there's a huge connection between sports and community. And we talked about this before. We talked about it during the fight to build an arena here. Mm-hmm. And anyone out there who's not a sports fan in your life, who doesn't see the value in sports, well, they're missing one of the great unifiers in the entire world, and that is sports.
Yes.
Politics is generally divisive. The news can often be incredibly divisive. Music, even at times. Music can be one of those unifiers, I'll admit. That's another one, concerts and the way people will bond together. But it doesn't generally spawn as much conversation.
Right.
And sports brings people together. It makes people talk to each other. It makes people bond. It brings and ties together a community. And I will be honest, the Cougar community, I think, is one of the truly very best in all of sports. Congratulations to them.
No
it's going to be a great weekend. Out in Pullman, and Danny David Moore will be there broadcasting from the RV lot, RV1, today, starting at 3 o'clock. All right. As I promised, I've got sound of an obnoxious New Yorker being obnoxious.
You're going to like this.
You will hear it next here on Brock and Salk.
Good news.
Yeah!
Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
All right, Brock and Salk. J. Jay Keeps in. Open phone lines coming up in 15 minutes. So if you want to beat the rush, you can jump in right now and get on that. Anything that's on your mind, anything you've been trying to tell people, anything you want to get across this week. I'd love to see, I mean, obviously there's going to be a lot of Seahawks there, but I'd love to see if we can kind of expand beyond that. Baseball postseason, college football, Huskies, Cougs, game day.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. That's Paul it. Allen. So anything that's sort of left over from your week, 206-421-3776 is the number. We'll do open phone lines starting at 9 o'clock, but if you want to get a jump on that, you can call in now. In the meantime, what is in the news?
David Price got his first ever playoff win as the Red Sox advanced to the World Series.
Yeah, to me, this was a really cool performance by David Price. Like I said earlier on the show, I just think that he's had a lot of criticism. And when you hear him talk about it post-game and how he handled the situation, there was a lot of mental strategy for him, you know, to be able to figure out how he mentally is going to navigate this big moment. And, man, it paid off in a big, big way for him. So I'm really happy for him. And exciting to see Boston in the World Series.
Bad news. David Price, one of my least favorite people in all of baseball. He is a whiner. He is a complainer. He is the type of guy who tries to tell you about what he did in high school in order to make up for his bad performances in the pros.
No.
True story. He actually started tweeting to fans a few years ago about all of his great high school awards. David Price is one of my least favorite baseball players, and I was rooting for the Astros. So put it all together, bad news, at least for me.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Oh, yeah, this was years ago when he was in Tampa, and he's just getting ripped for another terrible postseason outing. And he's like, I'm the high school player of the year here, and I did this. It's just like, dude.
What?
Well, I'll find it for you.
Unbelievable.
On the other hand, he does have a French bulldog, so perhaps it kind of evens out.
Okay. LeBron James lost his first ever game as a Laker despite putting up 26 points and 12 rebounds.
No news. How could you put in the win-loss? I saw this. Did you see Bunker? Do you follow Bunker still by any chance?
Yeah, I do.
Bunker took the ESPN report on all of LeBron's numbers and then wrote and a loss as if that meant one thing. Bunker, what's the matter with you? You're an NBA fan. You should know that winning or losing mattering, especially in the beginning of an NBA season.
Yeah.
What a complete joke. No news. LeBron will be just fine in LA.
Yeah, I agree with you. This is no news. I mean, we're seriously going to critique LeBron and make this a headline deal that he didn't win his first game as a Laker. The cooler thing to me was he had Gillard talk about the Damian Lillard. Sorry,
I don't know.
I'll go with Dillard. Dillard's fine with me. Damian, Dillard's like a retail
combination
store?
Of it, Damian and Lillard. You know, Damian Lillard talked about the game afterwards and was like, "Hey, this was a special win for us because we wanted to do our best to honor Paul Allen." And a lot, this game meant a lot to them, and you know, to come out with that win was pretty cool for them. So I just love hearing Damian's talk about Paul Allen, how he meant to that franchise.
Good news, bad news.
Sorry,
no
Damian.
Winning and losing in the NBA like it matters. What a joke. What a complete joke.
The NBA's G League will allow one 18-year-old player per team to be signed for $125,000, allowing them to bypass college.
Yeah, to me, this is, I don't know if it's good news, bad news, but it's interesting news. And the thing that's interesting about it is I think it's a positive thing in terms of you're not going to see these kids be forced to go to Europe. You know, some of these guys at this point have decided that, hey, I'm going to go to Europe and I'm going to go play basketball professionally. To me, I don't think that's the right way to go for them and for their ultimate development. So I'm excited that they're going to do this. And when you look at it, people are going to go, well, you're going to have everybody, you're going to have all the good players go into this G League. And I don't think so. And I still think you're going to see really good college basketball. You're going to see great development still. And hey, if these guys think out of high school that they're ready to jump to the next spot, this is a great option.
I actually think this is great news. This is what the NBA should have done a long time ago. There's no reason to go through the charade of making people that don't want to be in college be in college.
Yeah.
The one and done has not been good for the college game. All these players do is go for a year and then take off.
Oh, and then,
by the way, allowing them to go straight to the NBA wasn't good for the NBA either.
Correct.
Right? I mean, you're seeing these high school kids. Yeah, all right, it worked for LeBron and for Garnett and for Kobe, a couple others. But how many other people ended up sitting on NBA benches forever? Some eventually got developed. Many of them did not. It didn't work out for any of them. So I like this idea. Don't make kids go to college that don't want to go. And I actually think it'll end up helping the college game.
Yeah.
The one-and-dones are not good for college. And even if a lot of the big-time premier one-and-done style talent opts not to go to the college,
yeah.
Great. I think college can survive with less talent and more structure.
Oh, that's what makes college basketball
exactly
great.
Exactly right. I would rather see guys there for 3 years
yeah.
who are try-hard guys and who truly want to be there
yep.
than watch the one-and-dones play an NBA-style game in college. So great news all around.
For sure.
Good news, bad news, no news.
New York radio guy Chris Mad Dog Russo is really mad about the start times and channels for postseason Major League Baseball.
This is ridiculous. Why? Because of MS1? TBS? I mean, geez. I mean, they got garbage channels anyway. My God, what, TBS wants to have their part of the game leak into prime time so they can't start at 3 o'clock in Houston in Game 3? Nonsense. Who cares what TBS thinks? Put the game on so we all can watch it. Every part of the country. You think Goodell would play his championship game at 3 a.m.? You think he would do that? Does championship Sunday in the NFL, the first game begin at 7, and then the Rams play at 10? No, it doesn't.
I like that he's got to answer the rhetorical question.
Oh, man.
Think about it. If you're a Milwaukee Brewer fan living in Wisconsin, you went to bed on it. 1:25 there. School night. School night.
I like the very end of that first one, Howdy, where he goes, no!
No! It doesn't!
Can you imagine listening to an entire show of that?
No!
Thank you.
No
agree,
way.
Mad Dog. Agree with. And he used to be paired with Francesa. So he'd be on one side. Francesa would be falling asleep and screwing up names on the other. And that's the most legendary show in the history of New York. We'll say no news. I hate when, I mean, look, I've lived in the Northeast. And even then, I didn't complain about all the late games.
Yeah.
Stop complaining. Oh, the children. You know what happened when I was a kid? And my teams played in big games?
Yeah.
I got to stay up late. And it was awesome. And it made those nights even more incredible, right? Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I got to stay up late to actually watch the end of a big game.
Yeah.
It just
spoke to how big that game actually was. And so you can talk about how baseball or any other sport loses fans because of late starts. I think that if you allow your kid to do it, not only will they survive the next day, I promise they will. But also, they will end up loving the game even more because it's an actual special thing in their life.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you just do it too much, they might. It's a school night.
Yeah, well, you can't watch every
school
game.
Night.
Thank you.
Know?
It is a I school mean, night.
Yeah, to me, this is no news, and it's just kind of laughable to hear this. And I mean, I get
no.
it from their perspective,
no.
but at the same time, hey, East Coast bias with everything else. I don't really. This is ridiculous.
My dad is.
Give us the scheduling.
My parents
on the West Coast,
may end up thinking about moving out to the West Coast, and I think it's the sports schedule that has my like seeing his grandkids is like part of it for my dad.
Yeah,
but it's better. It's more about the schedule. He's like, you're telling me that the game started at 4? Okay, I'm in. Like my dad's like ready to move here just because of that.
I will say, when I lived in Miami, it was so different.
Oh, such
as
a
sport viewer. I couldn't see anything.
It's
like,
so late.
On the West Coast, it was like, no way.
Yeah. Go away, North New Yorkers. We don't need you yelling and screaming about the schedule. All right. Open phone lines. Whatever you guys want, man. 206-421-3776. 206-421-3776. You want to talk Seahawks and where they're at coming into the bye week? You want to talk about the Cougs hosting College Game Day and what you expect this weekend and what that fan base is and is all about? You want to talk about the Huskies and whether or not they can bounce back after a brutal loss that probably takes them out of the Final Four, but maybe still leaves a Rose Bowl on the table. Okay, you want to talk about Paul Allen and his legacy. You want to talk about the baseball postseason and the Red Sox going to their fourth World Series and what's going to happen in the NLCS and what it means for the Mariners now moving forward.
Man, lots of
you
good stuff.
Get to set the agenda for the next 45 minutes, 206-421-3776. You better call, though, or else I'm going to set the agenda, and you won't like my agenda. It's all coming up with Jake Heaps and me, Mike Salk, here in Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN Seattle.